World Football at AFCON
with John Bennett.
Yes, welcome to the show. Hello from me, John Bennett. Great to have you with us. So the Africa Cup of Nations is underway with a 2-0 win for the host nation, Ivory Coast, against Guinea-Bissau. Two excellent goals as well. We will be with you throughout the tournament, releasing one of these shows after every match day. The drama, the excitement, the big talking points, reaction and analysis. And today we have two former international captains with us. From South Africa, Dean Furman, and from DR Congo, Gabriel Zakwani. Hello, guys.
Hello, John. Hello, Dean.
Good evening, gents.
We were just asking Dean, Gabby, if he'd played against you. Can you remember a two-footed lunge on Dean in your career?
One or two, yeah.
Oh, Dean, have you got the bruises?
But I'm sure there's some deep scars in there.
Let's not talk about that. We've only got 15 minutes. We could be here all day talking about the bruises from those Gabby Zakwani challenges. Gabby, we're underway. The AFCON is underway. How happy are you to have AFCON back?
Oh, finally, you know, we've waited such a long time, the anticipation I'd been building. And I'm just glad it's on the way. And today, the lead up to it, I felt nerves as if I was involved in it, you know. But as a supporter, I really, really was looking forward to it. And I'm glad it started.
I watched the game with Dean and we were talking when the national anthems were happening. Because, Dean, you know all about playing for a host nation at an AFCON. You play for South Africa in South Africa back in 2013. That must be a special feeling when the anthem is playing, you're in front of your home fans. Did it bring back great memories for you?
Oh, absolutely. For me, any time you were at home and the national anthem was sung in front of your fans, it's a special feeling. You don't get that in club football. You walk out, you shake hands, you get on with the game, but it just adds something extra special. It just really reminds you what you're playing for, who you're playing for. And sometimes you just get that extra buzz. There's that extra special feeling playing for your national team. And it's the final thing you do before you go and play, that start the match. And it can really spur you on and give you that little boost of energy before you get going.
Yeah, we wondered what effect it would have playing at home for Ivory Coast. A 2-0 win against Guinea-Bissau. Two really good goals as well. Gabby, what did you make of Ivory Coast's performance?
I thought it was efficient. And that's probably all it was. I did expect a comfortable win. So probably not the biggest test they could have had. And they capitalised on the mistakes that Guinea-Bissau made. The quality was the difference between the two sides. And the goals were unbelievable. Fofana's goal was excellent. Good feet just before it. Bent it round the keeper. And, you know, the other goal was brilliant as well. It's that extra bit of quality. That was the difference between the two sides. You know, Krasai had no right to take two touches before the swivel and then place it into the corner. So, I mean, that was the perfect start they could have had, because it's a potential banana skin. In African football, there's never a given. And that was a potential banana skin, but they've gone through that one and now it can ease the nerves of the nation.
Gabby, myself and John watched the game and we obviously expected Ivory Coast to take full control of the game, which they did. But what really surprised us, and I wonder if you picked up on this, was just how sloppy Ivory Coast were at times. And there were four or five opportunities that were just so careless that they gave Guinea-Bissau. And against a better side, against the Super Eagles who are coming up soon, that's going to end up in the back of their net. And that for us just kind of left a bit of a grey area for Ivory Coast. And if you're Nigeria, if you're planning to come up against them in the latter stages, you've got to be looking at putting them under pressure, because any sort of pressure that Guinea-Bissau did put under them, Ivory Coast just went really sloppy. It was quite surprising.
It was, but for me, I'll sort of argue the fact that maybe they just got a little bit complacent because it's lesser opposition on paper. I think with against Nigeria, or opposition of that standard, they won't be doing that. I can't see them, you know, doing them loose passes from the back. I think there'll be more concentration and more riding on the game. I just feel that they got a little bit complacent when the game got comfortable and were just reminded that they can get caught out any time.
Can I get your professional perspective, both of you, on the goals? Right, Seko Fofana, I thought that was a beautiful finish, passing the ball into the back of the net. So he got the first goal after just 4 minutes. Then Jean-Philippe Crasso, how good was that goal? To me, as the amateur, the park footballer, that's being generous. It looked like a fantastic goal, Dean. He controlled it, flicked. It was a defender who made a bad touch. He kind of controlled it, flicked it over a defender. let it bounce, then volleyed it in almost like a bicycle kick. That was amazing skill, wasn't it? How good was that goal?
Well, technically, it was outstanding. First to flick it over the defender's head. The next one, just to bring it down, just to settle the ball, because it wasn't quite right to get the shot off. And then the third one, as he's falling to the floor, as you said in commentary, it was almost like an overhead kick, side volley, just to keep that down, just to get a good connection of the ball. Technically, it was a fantastic goal, all with his left foot. And it really was an outstanding finish when you kind of look really closely at it. It was a brilliant goal. And I thought his overall performance was really good. And that goal was probably deserved the way he played.
Gabby, you scored a few like that, haven't you, in your career?
No, definitely not. But I mean, it was just that moment of quality. I mean, it was sort of a nothing ball in the end, bouncing in and around the area. And his first two touches are absolutely brilliant. First one to get over the defender, one to get that yard. And he still's got his back to goal. So he's still got a lot to do. And he's swiveled. And it's a brilliant finish. I mean, the two goals, we can talk about it all day. They were brilliant.
And yeah, I've been boring Dean. As I said, Gabby, I watched the game with Dean. I'm boring him. I'm basically the president of the Seiko Fofana fan club. What a player he is. I was bigging him up before the game and he was sensational. Midfielder's perspective first, Dean. What did you make of Seiko Fofana's performance?
I just thought he oozed quality. He was so comfortable picking up the ball deep. And when he got forward, it just looked like he was in total control of the game. His goal early on, and even before his goal, it just looked like he was the one with the real quality for Ivory Coast. It looked like he was the one who could pick apart the Guinea-Bissau back line. And to settle your way into a tournament, he couldn't have dreamed it better. In front of your home nation, 60,000 there in the crowd to get the ball. And it kind of got stuck under his feet, so he did well. He had showed some great feet to get the ball out of his feet. And the finish was outstanding. Past the keeper, top corner. Started a tournament of couldn't have asked for much more.
You're in the fan club, Dean. Gabby, are you in the fan club? Seiko Fofana fan club?
Yeah, I mean, not as much as you, but he was very good. You know, his influence from early on, and he just grew and grew as the game went on. And he could have had another one, because that opportunity he had where he's again sort of done the same thing, placed it right in the top corner. It's a brilliant save by Joko to tip it onto the crossbar. And he was outstanding today. He was a threat throughout. He broke things down. He played forward at every opportunity. I don't think he could have wished for a better game, but there's more to come. I think today was just to set their stall out and let us know that they're in this competition to try and go all the way. But Guinea-Bissau are not going to be the toughest test for them.
No, we can't wait for the Nigeria game. So quick one from both of you. Gabby, you first, then Dean. How far can this Ivory Coast team go at this AFCON? Gabby, you first?
Oh, yeah, I'll go first. Yeah. Oh, Dean, I was waiting for you there. Yeah, I'll go first. I mean, I haven't learned too much off today, but as before the tournament, I predicted they will get through the group. I expect them to get to the minimum quarterfinal. I'm not banking on them to win it. And I think after today, yes, they showed some glimpses of why I don't think they could go all the way. But I expect them to get through the group and to the quarterfinal. I think that's where we'll see the back of them.
Gabby, I've got to agree with you. I wasn't blown away by them today, and they probably didn't have to blow us away. They did enough to win the game. They've got through a potentially tricky encounter. They've got through it pretty comfortably. Did they blow us away? Not at all. Have they got some quality? Absolutely, they do. There's no doubt about it. They will be difficult for anyone in the latter stages of this tournament, but are they one of the better teams? Is the home support going to be enough for them to take them right through to the final? I just don't see enough quality, and I do think there'll be better teams out there in this tournament.
Sunday is a bumper day of AFCON action. Ghana and Nigeria starting their campaigns, as do Mohamed Salah's Egypt. And you've been getting in touch with us via WhatsApp to tell us that you think they could go all the way.
My name is Joseph Chiyinji. I'm from Kampala, Uganda. Now, getting to the question, I would love Egypt. In fact, I fancy Egypt to take this Africa Cup of Nation Cup. At the same time, I also feel Mo Salah is the person to watch as far as this Africa Cup of Nations Cup is really concerned. My reason is, if there's any single award he needs, the highest accolade, should be the Ballon d'Or. So if he takes advantage of this one, he wins it, and then perhaps somewhere, somehow, he wins the remaining European leagues, I think he has a chance.
Thank you, Joseph. So Salah's Ballon d'Or hopes on the line in the next few weeks. I like that. Surely if he wins AFCON, he'd be the early favourite. And like Joseph, you can give your views all throughout the tournament via WhatsApp on +44 800 032 0470. Send us a voice note and we will play some of them out. Don't forget to include your name and where you're getting in touch from. We're talking about Egypt, basically, Gabby, so we could give Dean a chance to remember when South Africa, and he was playing, beat Egypt at AFCON 2019.
Don't need to give me a second chance to talk about that game.
Salah was on the pitch. Sadly, we're running out of time, Dean. We can't go into it. But what about Salah's chances of winning AFCON?
Yeah, he's
always never done it. He needs to get that medal, doesn't he?
And it's not easy for him. In my experience playing against him, there is so much expectation on him. And if you're an opposition team, all your focus is on Mo Salah. And when I've played against him, the left back who's come up against him has had the game of his life. And that is just the added attention to detail that he gets, certainly when he's playing for Egypt. It might be different when he's at Liverpool because there's so much other world-class quality around him. But when he's played for Egypt, he's the figurehead. He's the main man. Everything goes through him. And everyone guards against it. So that is the difficulty for him. But he is world class. And you expect him to have a particularly big say in this tournament once again.
Gabby, you know I've predicted Egypt to win it. What are you thinking?
No, your predictions don't normally go well. So I don't think they'll win it. I don't think they've quite got enough. But I think for African football, I think having seen Messi lift the World Cup finally, I think Salah, he can't not have an AFCON.
Yeah. So it might be his last chance as well.
Exactly. So it's something that we all want to see, but I think there's too much quality in this tournament, and he'd have to start well as well to really get his foot in the door for that.
Shall I break the news now to Dean, Gabby, that I've picked South Africa as my dark horse, my outsider, not to win it, but to go quite far. I'm thinking South Africa can do well. It's a decent group, Tunisia, Mali, and Namibia. Dean, have I put the jinx on? How do you think South Africa are going to do?
I don't want you to jinx us. We don't need to be jinxed. I'm excited by this group of players. They're a young group who've come together over the last few years. Many of the players, over half of the squad, all play for Mamelodi Sundowns in the South African Football League. So it's a group of players that know each other particularly well. They know each other's games inside and out. And I'm hoping that that is going to really bode well for the team. Expectations aren't as high as maybe they have been previously. So they can go out there and play with some element of freedom. Go and upset a few. We know that we can do. We've done it in the past. We can upset the big teams. On our day, we're a tough, tough game for anyone. So, yeah, I can't wait
to see. So you're saying they're going to go further than DR Congo?
I am absolutely saying they're going to go further than DRC. Sorry, Gabby.
Now, Dean, do you genuinely believe that the team can get through the group?
It's going to be tough. It's a tough group. Mali are strong. Tunisia are strong. And even Namibia, they've got a striker who plays in the South African League who is one of the key marksmen for Mamelodi Sundowns. So it's a tough group. It really is. And a bit of a blow for Bafana with Lyle Foster staying at Burnley and not going to the AFCON. That's you've lost your star striker who's done really, really well so far in the Premier League. So that's going to work against them. They have to get out of the group.
That's, be more positive, Dean.
They have to get out of the group. Minimum requirements is getting out of the group. It's going to be tough, but I do expect them to find a way through that group. And then knockout football, I'm backing them. I know what they can do on their day. Mm. I know that there's a lot of quality in that team. And I do back them to cause a few upsets.
The bad news for Dean is that he's done so well that we're going to invite him back on World Football at AFCON. Thank you so much, Dean, for joining us. Gabby, thanks as always. We'll be back after match day 2, reacting to those games involving Nigeria, Ghana and Egypt. The Giants are going to start their AFCON. Ivory Coast, though, have won the opening game at AFCON 2023, a 2-0 victory over Guinea-Bissau. What a start to the tournament.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.